Good morning.
Ooh.
Come on in and take a seat, please. I've got the privilege of introducing our guest today. As a member of our mission team, we're pretty picky about our partners. We have high standards, and we receive regular communication, and we hold them to those standards. We want to be good stewards of the finances that this church has and uses for missions. Once we do partner, we see it through. These two people we have partnered with since 1994. Ken and Carolyn Muckle. They have been church planting in Spain, and their lives are full of service and sacrifice. They're Pittsburgh people, and they answered the Lord's question, "Whom shall I send?" And they said, "Send us." So would you please welcome Ken and Carolyn.
Thank you, Jill. We're so glad that you made an exception to your high standards when you took us on. And thank you so much for that. Well, I have to pray. That's right. See, you made that exception. Father, we want to thank you for the privilege of loving you and serving you. And we thank you, Lord, that the longer we serve you, the sweeter you grow. The more that we love you, more love you bestow. Each day is like heaven. Our hearts overflow. The longer we serve you, the sweeter you grow. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Well, the church in Cabanillas del Campo in Guadalajara, Spain, the province in which Guadalajara, Mexico is named after, thanks you. For the 28 years that you have dedicated them. You planted the church as one of our biggest supporting churches. We've appreciated what you've done over the years. We want to thank you for that. Continue on. And we're using certain scriptures to be sort of thematic for us in during this time in the States. It says, "But thanks be to God who in Christ always leads us in triumph, in a triumphal procession, and through us spreads the fragrance of the knowledge of him everywhere." And we're saying God did that, and we thank you and we thank him for what he did in our hearts and the hearts of the people in Cabanillas del Campo. And he spreads that fragrance, and that's our job as we do what we're doing. Well, the journey in Spain started over 25 years ago. And this was us with our first two children. Our third child is in the picture, but you can't see him. And the fourth one was still on the way. And so this was how we started. And we say God did it through us. At this point of time, I think this is advancing by itself. So I'm going to go to another way here. Okay, there we go. Yeah. So a lot of times you get there and you try anything. You know, you whatever you can do to preach the gospel, you put on any outfit and you do whatever you need to do. But it's advancing by itself again. All right. yeah, we'll have to go with it. All right. Yeah, let me just, Carolyn, why don't you talk a little bit about some of our strategies while I...
Okay. When we got to Spain, we lived in Madrid for 3 years, learning Spanish, doing an internship at a big church in Madrid. And then we moved 45 minutes outside of Madrid to Cabanillas del Campo, which is outside of Guadalajara. Between Madrid is Guadalajara, Barcelona. So we were on that road to Barcelona. We moved 45 minutes out to a small town, 11,000 people, that had no evangelical church. It had a Catholic church and no other churches. So we chose, God helped us to choose that town, moved there, but of course we knew nobody, not anybody in that town. It was a way, we had to think of ways to get to know people. And the one thing we did realize is that, well, the slides are advancing quickly, but everybody in Spain wants to learn English. So we thought this is a great opportunity for us. We do speak English, thankfully better than we spoke Spanish. And we thought this is a great opportunity for us to use what we know and encourage people in their learning of English. So we tried to do different things with English. We started English camps. They were weekends away that we planned and organized. People could come, they brought their children. We ran a children's ministry. We had different teams come and help us from the United States. Different churches sent teams of people that would do the ministry, that would do the English, one-on-one classes. It was an incredible opportunity for us to reach out to people in our town, a great way for us to get to know people. Many people that came, we had no idea who they were. It was just word of mouth. They wanted to learn English for a weekend. And it was a wonderful way for us to talk about God. A lot of people could not believe that people from the United States would come over and use a week vacation to minister or to serve at an English camp. And it was a really great time for us to, people in the team, to share that that was what being a Christian was serving. And they wanted to use that week of vacation to serve, to help with English. It was an incredible way for us also to get to know and build relationships through the team, getting to know people, and through our Spanish friends. And it sort of opened up a lot of doors.
Okay. And another part of the verse we want to share is, "For we are the aroma of Christ to God among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. And to one, we are a fragrance of death to death. To the other, a fragrance from life to life. Who is sufficient for these things?" We as missionaries, and you as Christians, have a smell about you. And that smell leads people either to Christ or away from Christ. And I like to challenge people asking them, how do you smell? Are you leading people toward Christ or away from Christ? When people smell you, are they smelling Jesus Christ, or are they smelling some other issue, some other obsession, some other project? But the idea behind being a Christian and the idea behind being a missionary is to bring people to Christ. And that's a huge responsibility, because it says to certain people we are from death to death. And to others we are from life to life. And it asks the question, who is sufficient for these things? What a responsibility. But God gives us that sufficiency. But it says here, who is sufficient for these things? And what's the automatic answer? Nobody. So when I said to Jill, thank you for lowering your standards, I wasn't kidding. Because we're not sufficient to do this, but God is. And he can work in our hearts, and he can work in their hearts, and he can work in your hearts to be that fragrance of Jesus Christ wherever you go. Maybe there's somebody here who you're questioning whether you can do something in the area of ministry. Maybe you're questioning, somebody has asked you to do something, oh no, I don't think I could do that. I'm not capable to do that. And you know what? You're right. You're not capable. But God gives you the ability to do it through his magnificent message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You see, we're talking about the glory of the gospel ministry. And that glory of the gospel ministry means the message is so fantastic that it does all the work for us. The message of Jesus Christ is a message that starts with regeneration, God shining in people's hearts. And then it is amplified by the Holy Spirit's presence in our life, giving us the ability to live the Christian life. So God's done tremendous things through weak vessels over the last 28 years. But I want to encourage you that he can do the same thing for you. So if you're questioning your capacity or your ability to do something as a Christian, I want to encourage you that you're right. You're not sufficient. But God gives us that sufficiency. God diffuses his magnificent message through weak and common messengers. That's us. You saw that picture of us arriving in Spain. We were shell-shocked. I mean, we are afraid to fly. And I can't tell you how many times we've flown across that ocean, but God has given us the sufficiency to do that. We start out, we're Pittsburghers, and after Carol and I got married, we worked at our church in the North Hills, but then we moved to Cumberland, Maryland. And that was hard for us to leave our families. And every time we would visit Pittsburgh from Cumberland, on the return 2.5-hour trip, we would kind of cry. We miss our families. I don't know how we can keep doing this. And then God called us 3,000 miles away. It wasn't a 2.5-hour journey. It was a 8-hour flight. But that's how God can work. He diffuses his magnificent message and gives us magnificent means. And he does that through weak and common messengers. So if you're feeling weak, if you're feeling common, I want to encourage you today that it's that magnificent message and the magnificent means that God gives with that message that makes us sufficient in the ministry. Well, we focused on prayer. Our theme for our work with Federico and Lucia, who we're going to introduce in a couple minutes, is entrenando discípulos para alcanzar el mundo de rodillas. Training disciples who reach the world on their knees. We tried to focus on prayer. We often had days of prayer and fasting as a church. We had long times of prayer. We prayed every week with Carolyn, with Lucia, and I with Fede. And we tried to focus on that. We had certain people say, we don't know anybody who prays as much as you do. Well, you know why? Because we're weak. We're common. And you know what else? We're lazy. And we found that the more you pray, the less you have to work. So we tried to pray as much as we could. And so that's the neat thing that God does. He gives his magnificent message, and then he empowers it with his magnificent means. And so that's why we tried to focus on prayer.
Spaniards love to party. Another way when we moved to this town, not knowing anybody, another way to get to know people was that we had a lot of fiestas. Spaniards, the word fiesta is Spanish, and that is part of their culture. And one thing we did see is that even though Spaniards obviously don't celebrate Thanksgiving, they've seen it in movies and on TV, that they were very interested in how you celebrated it. So we thought, why don't we do Thanksgiving outreaches? We invited them to our home, and then we eventually went to Fede and Lucia's house, and now we do it in our church. And I did a huge turkey, and we did all the fixings, and they loved it. They took pictures of the turkey, them with the turkey, beside the turkey. They've never seen a turkey that big. We had to actually special order it every year because obviously they don't eat turkey of that size. So it was a great way for us to talk about why we celebrate Thanksgiving, the pilgrims, the whole story, how we focus on being grateful to God, and it's a basis of Thanksgiving. And it was a really neat opportunity for us to invite a lot of most of the people at the beginning were unsaved, no one knew the Lord, but a great opportunity to introduce them to Christian culture and what we celebrate. Then we thought, let's do Valentine's Day. There's another time of the year where it's another party. They love Valentine's. It's becoming more popular in Spain, but not as big as it is here. But they loved the idea of we had couple dinner, and we did all the romantic stuff. And then we talked about God's love, the greatest love in the world. So we used different party ideas to try to bring people. Spaniards were funny. They'd been taught from their religious leaders that evangelicals were very dangerous. They had taught them that we did children sacrifices in our homes. So, yeah, it's true.
Weird, it's true.
So in order to, I guess they didn't, the religious leaders didn't want them going to evangelical churches, so they did that to scare them. So a lot of our friends believed those lies. So many of them were very apprehensive to come to our home. But when we had started having parties and they came into our house and saw we didn't have an altar in our living room, we weren't sacrificing anybody, and that we were normal people that just wanted to have fun, but we, you know, were a little crazy about Jesus, according to them. But they really began to be more comfortable with us. And so that was what really opened the door for us to be able to invite people to then Bible studies. And then when we had a church, we invited them, and it became sort of normal. But at the beginning, it was very hard to actually break into that and for people to see, oh, they're just normal people.
Maybe share Mary the Mighty Face story.
One of my friends from aerobics, she actually grew up in France. She was Spanish, but her parents, as in many Spaniards, when Franco took over, many Spaniards moved to South America or to other countries. Her parents moved to France, but she had been exposed in France to evangelicals because France, they just was a little bit more open to all of that. So she knew evangelicals. She'd studied the Bible, gone to an evangelical church. She was in my aerobics class. You'll see that I joined an aerobics class when we first moved there just to get to know people. And one day I wasn't there, and she told me later that some of the girls were asking her. They said, we see you're getting close to Carolyn. Have you ever been to her house? And Mighty Face said, yeah, I've been to her house. They said, what's her house like? Do they have an altar? She's like, no, it's just a normal house. It's just like has a bedroom and living room and kitchen. And they said, oh, because do you know she's evangelical? And Mighty Face said, yeah, but I thought it was just a religion, not a disease. And they're like, oh, yeah. They were just, you know, laughing about it. But she was really good about opening up the door for people to see that it's just a religion. It's not anything, we're not doing anything strange or weird.
And because of the magnificent message, we have confidence, such as the confidence that we have through Christ toward God. Not that we are sufficient in ourselves to claim as anything is coming from ourselves. You see what I mean? You're not sufficient. But don't let that bother you, because it says the next thing, but our sufficiency is from God, who has made us sufficient to be ministers of the new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit, for the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. That's talking about the magnificent means that this magnificent message gives us through the Holy Spirit working in our hearts and in the hearts of other people. You see, our adequacy and our sufficiency begins with realizing that we are inadequate. Not that we believe that we have it in ourselves as something as coming from ourselves. So that's the beginning of our adequacy, is believing that we are inadequate. So once again, if you're feeling inadequate today, welcome to the club. That's how you should feel. Because ministry is impossible without the magnificent message working through the magnificent means of the Holy Spirit. And so we have learned to rely on Him, trust Him, and not try to change things or manipulate things as we go. It says here, this is our confidence. Not that we are sufficient, but what is our job? To smell okay. Through us spreads the fragrance. We speak in Christ. The message is delivered by us. We proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord. That's the magnificent message. And then God's Spirit, through His magnificent means, opens up people's heart so that they respond to that magnificent message. So it's not us. It doesn't come from us. The only thing we have to do is be a waiter and bring the food from the kitchen to the table and deliver it. And God has to activate that through His Holy Spirit. So we had some false starts. Carolyn mentioned Mighty Face. She is in, what would that be? That'd be bluish green?
Turquoise.
Okay, I'm not good with colors. And in Spanish or English. I just, colors, fruits, and what else can I?
Vegetables,
yeah. Both in Spanish and English, I'm not very good. I'm glad she goes to the store. And this was a false start. This was our first Bible study. That's Maria Fe, her husband Pedro, our next door neighbors Enrique and Marina, and then Maria Fe's mother Philo. And we thought this was going to be the start of our church. Well, that group just disintegrated. They sort of lost interest and stopped coming. And then there was another group, that group to the right there, and we even had some baptisms from that group. And we thought this was going to work, but well, it didn't. But it's not because we did anything wrong, but God apparently in His timing did not choose that time for us to start, but we continued, such is the confidence we have through Christ toward God, not that we are sufficient as anything is coming from ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God. And we were insufficient in many ways because we were foreigners. we preached a foreign message, and we were foreigners preaching that message. And I often say, would you listen to someone preaching the gospel to you like this?
You need to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. He's the one who loves you.
Honestly, you might not listen attentively to someone speaking like that. But that's the way we sounded to them with our American accent. We have an accent. We always will have an accent. But praise the Lord, he worked despite our accents. But again, God diffuses his magnificent message through weak and common messengers. So we asked some others to come and join us.
So this is Federico and Lucia. They are our co-workers. They went to seminary at a seminary you'll see later on where Ken taught. That's how we met them. And we were praying. We had a couple false starts. We were actually in different teams with other missionaries. And we saw that a lot of missionary teams break up. Ours broke up. A lot of missionaries, it's hard for them to work together. They're strong-willed people. So we started praying, Lord, we want to work with a Spanish couple.
They are.
Yeah, not us. It's not us. It's them. It's them. So we started praying, Lord, we really want to work with a Spanish couple. I mean, our goal was to start a Spanish church, have a Spanish pastor, leave it in Spanish pastor's hands. So we thought, we need a Spanish couple to do this. So in 2009, Fede and Lucia joined us. They just had one child, and their family grew to four kids. This is them through the years. And we saw that once Fede and Lucia came to Cabanillas, they moved to Cabanillas, rented a house. They had a very big house. We had all our meetings there. We really saw God begin to work in our ministry. I think it was very different having Spaniards talk about a foreign message and not foreigners. They have perfect Spanish. People really relate well to them. Federico is an incredibly social person. He's great with getting to know people. And also, they have, besides our granddaughters, they have the best kids we know. They have incredibly great kids. Their kids are very well behaved. Their kids are now, you can see how old they are. Their two oldest daughters are in the, high school. Their two youngest are in the elementary school. Everybody wants to know their kids. Everybody asks Fede, what do you do to raise your kids? And Fede always says, we raise our kids according to the Bible. And they always say, no, besides the Bible. Fede says, it's just the Bible. We just use biblical principles. Spanish children, for the most part, are very, well, what do you say, terrible. They're not well trained. They're not well behaved. Spaniards have no idea how to raise kids. They're wild. So when you see four kids that are well-behaved, that listen, that are obedient, it really calls attention to that family. Faith and Luthi have done an incredible job as a witness in our town, in the school, and in the town. So we praise the Lord for them being part of our, well, they are actually running the ministry now. We praise the Lord for them being in our ministry. They have done an incredibly good job. Is that?
Since we have this hope, and what's the hope? Is it in our ability? Is it in Federico's ability? No. It's in God's magnificent message and his magnificent means. We are very bold, so we just try to share Christ whatever we can. Not like Moses, who would put a veil over his face so that the Israelites might not gaze at the outcome of what was being brought to an end. We don't use the means of the old covenant. We use the means of the new covenant. So the first thing we did is we did Bible distributions. We bought a few thousand Bibles, figuring that people would take maybe 1,000 of them. You know, so we went to every door in our community, knocked on the door. Only 60 people took Bibles out of thousands. But we just figured, hey, we're going to continue and try to be bold. And so we did an evangelistic campaign. Our mother church in Madrid is part of an association, so they do a campaign every year. So in 2011, they chose our town to do the campaign. This is in our town, and then the town next to us, there were over 300 people attending this. There was a theater production called the Castle of Grace. Yeah, and so they would do that, preach the gospel through that, and then some people responded. And so it was neat to see, but with a lot of them, but their minds were hardened. For to this day, when they read the Old Covenant, that same veil remains unlifted because only through Christ is it taken away. Yes, to this day, whenever Moses is read, a veil lies over their hearts, but when one turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. So after that evangelistic campaign, we saw the veil being removed, and we saw people come to know Christ. We saw people's lives changed, and then some of these people are now reaching out to their families, and they're coming to many of our activities. But we continued with outreach events. We had a famous Spanish author who happens to be an evangelical come to our town. Carolyn did cookie baking outreaches. She's a very good baker. That's how I keep my figure. And then we had a lot of Easter outreach events.
Yeah, Easter was another really great opportunity, obviously, for us to talk about the Lord. Once again, Easter egg hunts are not done there, but they've seen it on TV and movies. So they were very interested in participating. So we started small in our backyard just with a few kids, but then we went to the public park and hid hundreds of eggs, invited people to come, and their kids would come and search for the eggs. And then Luthia would do the resurrection eggs. We'd go through the story of Easter. Easter is an enormously big holiday in Spain, but only Good Friday. I mean, you can figure out, you know. And yeah, Holy Week, and it's very, you know, the kids don't have school, they have tons of processions. But once after Good Friday, they don't celebrate Sunday. It's not a big day, Easter Sunday. No one goes to church, everyone's on vacation. It's a big day, it's a big week to go away. And so we actually used those days to like go away with people and have picnics. We did our Easter egg hunt on Easter Day, and then had an opportunity to share with people why this is actually the most important day. Jesus on the cross was very, very important, his death, but his resurrection is what sets us apart from all the other religions. So we really had a lot of opportunities to share about using Easter and all of those holidays to share about Christ. Then we started a women's ministry in our church, and it was a great opportunity just to minister to women. Luthia and I decided it would be really great if we could do women's ministry, so that's just a group.
Yes. A seminary classmate of mine, and he's the fellow next to me in the picture, Manuel Fernandez, started a seminary in Spain, and then he persuaded me to come and teach. I thought it would be good for my Spanish. You know, to be in speaking Spanish all day, I thought that would work out well. I didn't have plans to do it for a long period of time, but amazingly, the students responded, and they seemed to like it. Even though I spoke like this, and you need to open your Bible here, they somehow responded, and so I did that for 20 years, and so it was neat how God used that ministry. These are various classes that I taught, and of course, during COVID, we were online, so that was a class that I taught over the computer through Zoom. This was an extension class in the Canary Islands, which was nice. I get to go to paradise and teach the Bible. And this was one of the last classes that I taught. And we see that important thing with teaching the Bible is teaching people how they can grow in their sanctification. And we see this verse is very important in that area. And we all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, it's using that metaphor of Moses in the Old Testament, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another, for this comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. So again, that magnificent means, but one thing, we can't just teach the content, we have to teach them how they can live it out. I'm going to give you a little test right now. Oh no. There's the test. Okay. Now, here's a very famous verse. Don't look up in your Bible. Don't look in your Bible. Don't look on your phone. There are two words missing in the Great Commission. Don't look on your phone. Two words missing. Can anyone tell me what two words are missing from the Great Commission? Very familiar verses. You've heard them a lot of times. But I would do this with my students in seminary, and no one ever got the two words. So if you don't get them, don't feel bad. You know, you're insufficient, so don't feel bad. Anybody?
Yes?
I think even to the very end of the age, even is missing.
Two words.
I don't know what the other one is.
Okay.
No, that's not in this translation, at least. Yeah, you might be thinking of another translation. Yeah. Anybody?
It says you instead of yins.
I send yins in the name of Myron Cope. And yeah, that's right. That's right.
Okay.
Teaching enters A.
Ding, 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 ding. You are the first person in 20 years.
We used to pray that we would obey everything that God commands.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yes.
Now, the essence of discipleship is not just teaching, although I never want to minimize teaching, but it has a goal: teaching to obey. And that's why, as I was teaching at the seminary, I noticed that these people needed to learn how to obey. So I started a small discipleship group with fourth-year students every year, and we went through Gene Getz's book called The Measure of a Man. And my goal was to teach these men how to be men, how to be Christian men, because they just didn't have the examples in Spain. For so many years, I was looking for a man to disciple me. In my early Christian life, I had people disciple me, and I was really into discipleship. My first interaction with Beverly Heights Church was through a navigators conference here that Lee Twombly held. And that was the first time, because I was concerned about discipleship. And the essence of discipleship is in that word, teaching them to obey. So that's what I tried to do in my discipleship groups. And I met with about 36 people over the 20 years that we did this. And it was just neat to see them coming to obedience in Christ, realizing that as Christian men, there were certain things they needed to do and other things they needed to not do. I always would challenge them that the Bible says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. I confess every day that I don't do that, because look how high the standard is. But I need to be better tomorrow than I am today. And I need to be better today than I was yesterday in doing that. So I tried to challenge the men to do that. And Carolyn would hear the woman complain about their husband. So I would challenge them. Not that, hey, I heard your wife said this. But I would try to challenge them to be Christian men. And so we had various groups. In this picture, there are two men from Muslim backgrounds that, praise the Lord, came to know Christ and are working with them. In this picture, there's a young man in the white shirt, and he's starting a seminary in Equatorial Guinea, his homeland. So it's neat to see the wide range that you can affect there.
And then the wives and the women of the seminary start saying, hey, we want some sort of mentoring program. Can you do something? So I was home 1 year, and I heard about Apples of Gold. Did it through the Bible Chapel, was introduced to, I don't know, I think you've all done it here, I don't know, at one point. It's a women's mentoring ministry based on the verses in Titus, older women mentoring younger women, a 6-week mentoring program, a Bible study, and then teaching them how to cook, which is like really actually, the Bible study was great, but the women loved learning how to cook, especially Spanish women learning how to make desserts and American recipes. And it was amazing to me how many young girls don't know how to cook, like really don't know how to cook. So it was a great opportunity for us to work with these women, teaching them how to be wives, mothers, submit, purity, all the things, kindness, hospitality. A lot of women didn't know how to entertain. They were really scared to do that. And then just what does the Bible say about these things? So I had great opportunities to do this mentoring program. Luthia was in my first group. And Faye was in Ken's first group, so we sort of got to know them and thought, this is a really great couple. We would love to work with them. And then just continue to do it. 36 women went through the program through the years. During COVID-19, as with every church, we ended up doing everything online. This is different activities. We did all of our services. We did a Valentine's outreach online, and like we prepared baskets and of all different kind of goodies and napkins and a candle and delivered them to everybody's house and then met online and had, we actually turned out really nice. But as with everything, we tried to change things up, and we found in Spain, I don't know if you ever, if you read the news or saw anything, but Spain, we were hit, as was Italy, hit very hard with COVID-19 and went into total confinement. We weren't allowed to leave our houses for almost 3 months, only to go to the grocery store, bank, and pharmacy, and police patrolled our towns. And it was scary. There were a lot of people. All of us knew someone who died. Everyone had a family member. There was a lot of death. But during that time, we really saw people wanting to know, like, what's happening in the world. And so a lot of people connected to our meetings online, and we got a lot of opportunities to talk with neighbors and different people about, yeah, these are scary times, but God's in control, and we're not scared. And so it was really neat. God used that. It took a long time to come out. We just stopped wearing masks, I want to say, in our church last summer, I mean, 2 years, our church wore masks inside. People in Spain, they just lifted the ban to stop wearing masks on trains and planes and all public places except hospitals. But it was a scary time for Spain, but God used that, because a lot of people then started seeking, like, what is going on in the world, and we need something more than just, you know, our national religion. Oh, okay, kids club. So this is our son, Nathan, in the middle, our two youngest boys. I was pregnant with Sam when we got to Spain. Nathan was born, he was born in Pittsburgh, but he lived all of his life in Spain. Our two youngest boys lived all their lives in Spain. When they started getting older in our street, they started telling their neighborhood friends about Jesus. And so we thought, this is a great opportunity. Why don't we start a kids club? And, like, it was in Faye and Luthia's house, and we invited the little neighborhood kids, Nathan and Sam's friends, started having a very small group. But we've continued that. It's going on 12 years we've had it. Now it's in, this is Faith and Luthia, and this is in our building. And the club has grown. Obviously, our kids aren't even in Spain anymore. But Faith and Luthia's kids invite all their friends now. And so we've had a lot of opportunities to continue the ministry and invite Faith and Luthia's kids' friends. And it's been incredible. Every Friday, 25 to 30 kids come to the local, to our building, and we tell them about Jesus, and we do snacks. 90% of the kids come from non-Christian homes. They're not saved. They have no, their parents only want their kids to go because they want them to be around Faith and Luthia's kids. But these kids are learning about Jesus. Then we decided to start a teen group because Faith and Luthia's two oldest daughters were now in the high school. So now they're inviting all their high school friends, and it's been incredible. Teens in Spain are struggling with the same things teens are here. Suicides are up. Kids are lost. Seeking transgender is huge there, all of that. And kids are wondering, like, what is there anything more to life? So Faith and Luthia are doing an incredible job reaching out to these teenagers. And it's been really exciting to see how God is using all of their family just to reach out to the kids in the town. And then this is my aerobics class when I first joined, when we first got there. And then this was a month before I left. I still meet with those girls. I don't do aerobics anymore, but we still meet every Wednesday for coffee. We've done it for 20 years. And it was really great. A lot of those girls had been to English camps, been to our house for, had heard the gospel, been to our house for parties. One of them is now attending our church. So God used the things that we started at the beginning to really reach people.
And then I started an English reading club. Since everybody wants to learn English, because English is the language of international business, some professional people really wanted to do this. So there have been hundreds of people that have come through the 20 years of English reading club that I taught. We read various C.S. Lewis books through this. We read, I don't know if any of you have ever read John Grisham's book, The Testament, where the main character basically gets saved. So we were able to share the gospel on numerous occasions through the English Reading Club. And so that's why we want to finish with this idea, but we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. So don't think of us as any better than you. We're not. But we have a magnificent message and magnificent means, and God uses the likes of us to to do it. God diffuses his magnificent message, the gospel, using his magnificent means, the power of the Holy Spirit in us, and then working in people he wants to see come to know Christ to diffuse his wonderful message. But he uses weak and common messengers. And so that's who we are. This is the new team.
When we, about 4 years ago, we knew we were going to be leaving Spain in December of 2022. And so we started praying for God to bring a couple to help Faye and Lucia. So this is Chris and Rose Durier. They're with our mission. They're a young couple. They've only been in Spain 3 years. But they were looking for a ministry, and they really loved Faye. Everyone loves Faye and Lucia. And so when we asked them if they would consider working with them, they were very excited. And so they actually just got back from their furlough and are looking for a house in our town. And they are going to be helping Faye and Lucia, which is really great. Faye and Lucia do an incredibly good job, but they need help. It's the ministry's growing, and they need people to come alongside them. And this is our family. People always ask about our kids. This is our son, Joe, the oldest. He's married.
He went to Jubilee.
Yeah, he and Hannah went to Jubilee when we were home once. He's married to Val. They have the three little girls. This is our son, Sam's wedding last May, but this is the oldest son. Three girls, and they're expecting a baby in April. And then Hannah, our daughter up at the top there, Joe, they live in Downingtown. He works for Vanguard Investments outside of Philadelphia. Hannah works at CHOP, Children's Hospital of Philadelphia. She lives outside of Philadelphia in New Jersey. Sam and his wife, Emily, just were married last May, and they live in Lancaster, work at Lancaster County Christian School. He's the secondary Bible teacher, and she teaches third grade. And Nathan, our youngest, just graduated from Lancaster Bible College, and he works at Target. He's an assets protection manager in Lancaster, working at Target. So those are our kids. They're all grown now, and we thought we need to go back to the U.S. I want to be near grandbabies.
So about 3 years ago, I went to Lancaster Bible College because our son went there, and I just said to the Bible chairman, hey, could you use me? I taught 20 years of seminary in Spain, and he said, we're thinking about starting an outreach program to the Hispanics of the area. We're looking for someone to teach Bible and theology in Spanish to the Hispanics of the area. Here am I, send me. Are you aware that there are more Hispanics who live in Lancaster County than Amish? And that between Lebanon and Philadelphia, there are 1 million Hispanics. And so many of these churches don't have the ability to go to Bible college, so they want to offer at a very reduced prices their classes in Spanish. So I'm kind of negotiating with them. I don't know, they're having some budget problems, so I might just do it for free. But you know, because I have like six classes I could do tomorrow, and so that's one thing we're working on. I'm going to go to the Hispanic Pastors Fellowship and offer that to the people there.
So in May we're moving.
Yeah, in May we're moving to Lancaster County. So, and once again, the Church of Cabanillas del Campo says thank you. Thank you for 28 years of faithful support and prayer and encouragement. And thank you.
You said earlier that the religious leaders have given some very false impressions about us. What is the predominant religion of that area?
Roman Catholic, yes. And the trouble is there have been so many scandals within the church that people just don't take religion seriously. Especially people our age and a little younger, the people Federico and Lucia's age have been growing up in a vacuum. So we're seeing much more responsiveness by them because they haven't been able to see the hypocrisy of the church. So we're encouraged by that.
It must be very different from Roman Catholicism here.
It is.
Oh, it's very
it
good.
Is.
But it's yes. Probably but Easter was a big deal in my North
right.
Catholic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and mine too. I went to North Catholic. So,
and they controlled everything. Like, we've heard about it, and it happened to us. The priest and the towns control what goes on. So we had actually asked for the public gym for a basketball outreach. We had been given permission, but I think once the Catholic priest found out about it,
they said we couldn't use it anymore. Like 6 weeks before the outreach, they said it wasn't going to.
Yeah, but people coming from the States
and
tickets and everything, but we had to find an outdoor.
It happened a lot. Priests shut them down if they found that there were outreaches. There was a bull ring. They rent one church and rented a bull ring for an outreach, and they took it away. So it's very different there.
Do you still have the 1,000 Bibles, or
no? Actually, there was a flea market in the town. I remember we showed you in our campaign. There was this big open area, and there were 300 people. Well, they started a flea market in that area, so we would go on many Sundays before church and just distribute the Bibles. So that's how we distributed. Yeah, they did take them eventually. Yeah. But then we did find one of the booksellers. There was selling some of our fine books. We were giving away for free.
What is the government, civil government's view? What's your relationship with them there? We're talking about the church.
Yeah. Well, see, it depends. And it's very different than here in the States. If the socialists are in power, they cooperate. If the conservatives are in power, they don't. See, because the conservative government is aligned with the Catholic Church.
They're conserving the Catholic
Church. Conserving the Catholic Church. The socialists will do anything to do that to the Catholic Church. Say, eh. So we represent them saying, eh, eh, to the Catholic Church. So they like us, because the Catholic Church doesn't. So it's interesting that in Spain, the socialists are the good guys. And the conservatives are back, because it's because of the socialists that we can exist. And it's interesting, you notice when the conservatives are in government, in power, the laws get stricter for foreigners, especially religious foreigners, and their visas and things like that. So that's just an interesting conundrum that's different than you would think.
Jill, should we? Okay? Thank you, Lord, for the wonderful opportunity you've given to us. And we thank you, Lord, for Beverly Heights Church and their faithfulness to you through all these years for the church that they planted in Cabanillas del Campo, Spain. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.